William's got a point about a different thing. Good morning, William.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, William.
I'll tell you what it is, mate. I received an address letter with a second-class stamp on it, and it says the occupier, and then my address and my postcode. Okay? You still there?
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what it is. The first thing that we opened, well, my wife just ripped it up and threw it in the bin, to be honest with you, because once you opened it, she went, it's tracts. But I lived beside a lot of old people and what have you.
She said, what did your wife think it was?
It was tracts. Just tracts, you know, from...
Oh, like a holy things?
Yes, it is indeed, yes. So my wife threw it in the bin, but then, about 15 minutes later, a girl from up the street who's got...
Hold on, she threw the holy things in the bin.
She did indeed. Aye, sure, it's not what you do with rubbish stuff.
Hold on, William, let me challenge you here. Someone has gone to the bother of sending you the word of God, and you threw it in the bin.
Yes, correct.
Do you not feel guilty doing that?
No, we do not, because the junk mail that you get from every company in this world, believe it or not, and phone calls that you get from all over the world, you just get to a certain point where you go, Ben, the only thing that you open up is bills, Frank. And you must admit, you open up your bills, don't you?
And then put those in the bin. However, let's go back to this mystery letter that came with the tracts in it, which you then put in the bin.
Yes.
Then did you go back to the bin to take it out?
Yes. The reason why I'm away from back to the bin, because a young lady up the street who's got a 10-year-old son, her 10-year-old son opened it up and went to his mummy and says, Mummy, are you thinking of committing suicide? And her mummy panicked and then read the tract and came down to my wife and said, did you receive one of these? And she went and says, look, I'll go and get it, it's in the bin. And she laughed. She says, why did you throw it in the bin? She went and says, because it's all rubbish. So one then brought it in and read it, because the girl had read it and says, that is absolutely terrible. Frank, let me tell you something. It says in this, people who commit suicide are sinners. You know, and to me, that is absolutely terrible. For someone to post something like that out is despicable. You know, if I went to a household where someone was thinking of suicide and opened that, and that thing hit them up the face, you know, I would just tell them, I'm definitely committing suicide because I'm a sinner.
You know, William, you know, I'm having a sort of a jolly, almost flippant conversation with you until you tell me what is in the literature.
Yes.
And for someone to send that in the post to any home is despicable.
You know, Frank, if you're walking down the street and someone hands you a tract, yes, you can either take it or say no thanks. But for it to post it out to your address with your postcode and your whole address on it, to me, that is absolutely shocking.
Do you have it in front of you?
I do indeed, yes.
Would you mind just reading me the first... A lot of people will only, you know, peruse the first few paragraphs. Just read that for me, please.
Well, on the front of it, it says, my life had been ruined by sin, and I did not want to live any longer, saved from suicide. That is the first thing. Now, it goes into detail here about a guy calling with a tract to a guy's house, and handing him a tract. He stood there for 5 minutes before the guy would open the door, but he said he wasn't leaving. And then the second time he called to the house, the guy brought him in, and there was a noose and a box. And the guy said to him, you have saved me. I was going to commit suicide, only you knocked at my door. And it goes into real detail here, Frank. You know, and if someone receives that who is vulnerable, I'll use the word vulnerable, you know, they're going to go, well, I'm a sinner, so I'm taking my life anyhow. You know, that is absolutely deplorable. Like, really, in my eyes, it is. Now, there's three. There's one, how to find happiness, and there's one that goes on to say about the Titanic. You know, in the Titanic, it's telling you that you can have all the money in the world and you can't take it with you. You know, it's. But the one saved from suicide, really, once I read it, I said to the wife, you know what, that's bad.
I have to agree with you. I do feel that it is such a brutal way to deal with an issue surrounding mental illness. There will be families who have lost loved ones to suicide who will be receiving that in the post. There will be people that you've touched on who are mentally vulnerable who will be influenced by that sort of literature coming in the post. And there are other people who will just be, like yourself, saddened to think that it has arrived on your doorstep. A 10-year-old opening it and reading it and being fearful for his mom. The people who are sending that out have no understanding of mental issues. They've no understanding of mental health. They've no understanding of the delicacy of the threat of suicide. It's a topic that when we discuss it on the radio, we give out helpline numbers. It's a rule that after we have a discussion or a conversation like this that you and I are having, that we will give out helpline numbers to people. The last thing anyone wants is being spoken to via some piece of literature coming in the post relating suicide to sin. It's despicable.
Really, these should have helpline numbers on the back of their tracts. If you don't want to get in touch with us, get in touch with helplines, you know, but there's nothing like that on it, you know, to me. If they were regulated to have helpline numbers on all of these tracts to help people, they can either go two ways, with the helplines or with lemons, you know. It's absolutely shocking. It really is.
Yeah, you know, William, I'm with you on this one. If it came to my house, I would be complaining to them. I agree 100% with you. If they have other stuff there, but you can't take your money with you, and there's, you know, there's no tow bar and a hearse and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
You know, we can cope with that sort of argument. But whenever you confront someone via a mail drop about mental health issues, you are taking a risk with vulnerable people.
Like, nobody knows who lives next door to me. You know, these people don't know who lives at the bottom of the street or the top of the street. If they hand them into a vulnerable house, well, what's going to happen? You know, they're not helping at all. They're not helping at all.
Yeah, they obviously have some sort of contact details on it. Who do we contact if we want to complain about the literature?
Am I allowed to say it over the air, friend?
Yeah, sure, no bother.
It's called a Revival Movement Association.
The Revival Movement Association. I've never heard of them, thankfully. But if you're from the Revival Movement Association and you'd like your say, feel free. Our number is 028-90-333-105, because you're certainly entitled to a platform, considering the criticism that William and I have both directed at you. Thanks for highlighting it, William. Thank you. Good on you, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers. I'll be with that man on that argument. Your opinions are very welcome indeed. 90-333-105. There are many people facing all forms of challenges. Paul has a point. Good morning, Paul.
Hello, Frank.
Yes, Paul.
Frank, I've just listened to the previous guy that was stating about suicide and people putting tracks through the door, right? Well, I have lost 5 family members to suicide, Frank. I was a youth worker for many years, and I spoke to young people on the brink of suicide, and they all say the same thing, that they're in a dark place, and they think their life's worthless. These thoughts are coming into their heads that their life would be better off if they weren't in it. Family members would be better off if they weren't there. Now, when you go tell the Word of God, the Word of God calls the devil the accuser, the liar, and the deceiver. And I believe that suicide is totally demonic. I believe that it's the evil one that gets these people in a dark place and puts all these thoughts in their head. Now, sometimes the truth, we don't like the truth, Frank, but I think that these people putting the tracks through the doors have a valid point. Because if people would only understand that it's not their thoughts, that it's coming from an outside force, I think we'll be shining a lot of more light on it.
So, Paul, just let me clear this up. Do you believe, and you know, you're in a position to comment, you say you lost 5 relatives to suicide.
5 relatives, Frank. I actually cut my uncle down in 1999. I found him hanging.
Okay, so you know, to think that you've been through that trauma, that absolute trauma, it does put you in a position to pass comment. However, it doesn't put you beyond being challenged. You are suggesting that suicide is a sin.
Yes, Frank, absolutely. I think anyone takes their own life is a sin. You know?
Paul, I keep in mind that you've been through the trauma of suicide. You have lost loved ones. You have witnessed a suicide. You couldn't be in a much better place to comment about the trauma of suicide. But again, I have to emphasise that there are people listening to this programme who will equally have been affected by suicide.
But let
me finish this, because this is important, who will be absolutely insulted by what you were saying, that their loved ones committed a sin when they died by suicide. Now, I have no problem giving my personal opinion on this. I absolutely refute any suggestion that a person who's died by suicide has committed a sin. They've died by suicide, full stop. It is not a sin. That is how the Dark Ages viewed suicide. You're still, as far as I'm concerned, living in the darkest of ages.
Frank, I am not living in the Dark Ages. You see, the Word of God states clearly. The Word of God states clearly that you should not kill. And whether killing yourself and killing someone else, Frank, the Word of God states it. I think the problem is that we all came away from the Word of God, you know, and we're not listening to it anymore.
Yeah, your line isn't very clear. Could you just bring your phone a little bit closer?
I think, Frank, that, you know, I mean, people say we're living in the Dark Ages. We're not living in the Dark Ages. The problem is we've all turned away from the truth, and the truth is the Word of God. I believe that's where the problem lies. We've all went our own way.
My stomach's slightly churning listening to you, Paul. I do accept that you've been through significant trauma, but I'm thinking about these families who are listening, who have recently lost a loved one to suicide. I'm thinking of personal friends, and these people did not, and I repeat this for the third time, did not sin when they ended their own lives.
Well, Frank, if you open your Bible and study your Bible, God tells us quite clearly that it's a sin. Now, I am not in a position to argue with God, and I don't think any of us is in a position to argue with God, but the Word of God's the truth, and it states quite clearly in it.
Okay. You know, man's entitled to his opinion, and of course you're entitled to yours, and I'm obviously entitled to mine as well. 90-333-105. It's interesting that Paul's coming from a perspective where he's been affected by suicide. If he was talking from the point of view where he never knew a person or a family that was affected, you know, I would be practically ripping him apart at this point. But because he's lost five family members to suicide, his voice is an important voice. But it's also a voice, I feel, that has to be challenged. Absolutely has to be challenged as I think about families who have lost loved ones to suicide. And he's saying that in the Bible, it says they sin as they take their own lives. I think that is something that totally has to be challenged. But as I say, the platform's here for anyone who's speaking from their own heartfelt belief and who isn't in any way breaking a law. And I have to emphasise that Paul is in no way breaking a law. Right, coming up on 25 past 11, your opinions on that are welcome. If you've got the stomach to either challenge Paul or to endorse him. 11:30, good morning. It looks like as if we're going to be getting a new Northern Ireland Secretary of State. There's a reshuffle ongoing, but this doesn't seem to be linked to the reshuffle. Northern Ireland Secretary of State James Brokenshire has resigned and is, unfortunately, it seems that he's resigning on the grounds of ill health. So we do wish him well, and whatever his ailment is, we hope he will have a speedy recovery. That's the Northern Ireland Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, resigning, and the government sources are citing that he is stepping down on the grounds of ill health. Right, good morning, 90-333-105. David's got a point. Good morning, David.
Morning, Frank. Would you not go for that job?
David, do you think I would be a good public servant?
I would say you'd be better than most.
David, I'll take that as an endorsement. What's on your mind?
I believe someone mentioned a little gospel leaflet going through a door or something. Was that right?
Yes. Has somebody been on to you? Has someone been saying to you that people have been complaining about the leaflets that you send out? Do you send them out?
You'll always get people complaining about all sorts of things, right? I've worked in this place where we print this material for over 20 years now. And it's really an international mission. We send stuff in many languages across the world. And again, we do supply those at home here, some of the local churches and stuff. We would use probably 30 ton of paper a week now to produce material like this to send internationally. But what we aren't actually responsible for the individuals who give them out, you know, around their area or whatever, but certainly some people accept them well, and other people maybe have no interest in the gospel or anything to do with church or religion. So maybe some people just bin them, but was the issue about one about suicide?
Yes, this is we had a complaint from a listener where he and everyone else in the street got a second class stamped envelope with the tracts inside it, whereby one of them was about suicide, and it made reference to how suicide wasn't the step and how suicide was a sin, and how if you turned to, I presume if you turned to God, that you could avoid suicide. But it's it was raised by a 10-year-old boy who opened the letter and was concerned that his mom in some way was contemplating suicide. She brought it up with the neighbour. The neighbour phoned us, and I was endorsing what he said. I would not want something sent in an envelope to me, to my home, giving me advice on how to avoid suicide.
Well, number one, I can fully assure you that's not what we do. We supply whoever wants to distribute in whatever language we print. But the thing is, having read the leaflet, the title of the leaflet is actually Saved from Suicide. And it's the story of a young man who was about to take his life, and how someone rapped his door and left a leaflet for him. And the following week followed that up, and the young man says, listen, you saved my life last week. And he says, what do you mean? And he says, my life was ruined. And he says, I heard you knocking on the door. He says, I was about to give up. And that's the story of the leaflet. I know that the issue of suicide and maybe directly relating it to sin is maybe a misinterpretation of what the story of the leaflet is. A good story of good news, how the life was saved.
Yes, but surely advice on avoiding suicide should not be sent out in the post to families who haven't canvassed for that sort of advice. If you open a letter and you are vulnerable, or if you open a letter and you've just lost a relative to suicide, that must come like a slap in the teeth.
It could do. And actually, my family has lost a relative, my brother, to suicide. So it is a very personal issue. However, when I read this leaflet, I find hope for the person who was rescued. And I think that the leaflet or the person who has called you maybe has misrepresented the story. Now, again, I say we don't put leaflets through doors. We supply them internationally to various missions, India, Africa, all across the world.
I understand that, and I'm also at the slight disadvantage. I can't see the leaflet.
Right.
But I'm maybe jumping to a conclusion, but the word suicide is going to be clear on this leaflet. Is there any imagery on the leaflet that would suggest someone who's been saved from suicide? Is there any dramatic picture on the leaflet?
There's no dramatic picture on the leaflet. The only the title of the leaflet is Saved from Suicide. And that's the message of hope that is in the leaflet. There is good news of hope in the leaflet, which again, some people have no interest in God, religion, whatever. I can see where people may be opposed to that. Maybe it was insensitive to put that specific leaflet in an envelope and through a door. As you could say, it could be very emotive for a family that has maybe come through this.
As people printing the leaflet, do you have a belief with regards to what you're printing? Do you believe that suicide is a sin?
See, the point that suicide is a sin isn't actually identified in the leaflet. That is not mentioned in the leaflet. That's where I think that it's been misrepresented.
In fairness, it was another caller who said that he believed suicide is a sin. I just wanted to know if you, as the printer, or people who are compiling these tracts, do they believe that suicide is a sin?
That's a big, big question, and as I say, having lost a brother to that, it's a very personal issue. And like, to understand the message of this leaflet is a message of hope, that the one who was contemplating suicide on this occasion was rescued, because the person wrapped his door, offered him a leaflet which explained that if he trusted Jesus Christ as his saviour, he could have a new life, he could have new hope, he could have a new desire, and a new way to live. And that's the message of the wee leaflet we print, which is a totally different maybe angle on it to what your perception has been.
Okay, David, I really appreciate you coming back to us on that. David, involved with the printing of these tracts. Most of you are in touch with us, don't want them coming through the door. Some people will argue, like the people who employ David to print them, that it's part of the Christian message. This is what missionaries do. As I say, your opinions are always very welcome. Geraldine is on line two, and she's got a point. Good morning, Geraldine.
Hiya, Frank. I'm just phoning up on behalf of my son who committed suicide last year. My daughter has tried to do it so many times. It would take your mom, Paul, to be in the heads of these kids to know what is really going on. My son had everything to live for, two kids. One was born after he died. So you see, him, whoever he is, he wants to shake himself and think of the kids it's committing. And it's no sin, definitely no sin. We're Roman Catholics. We go to Mass.
Geraldine, Paul, who you're criticising, lost five relatives to suicide, and he believes it's a sin. I'm actually with you. I absolutely believe it isn't a sin, but
my child was 23. He had a wee girl at 3, who turns 4 next Sunday, and the baby was born 3 months after Seamus died.
But why do so many people, and Paul is not alone because other people have been in touch with us as well, on the text.
Plus, his uncle committed suicide in 1999.
Yeah, well, why is it that so many people think it is a sin then? You and I are in agreement, but I'm being argued with by people.
People to be in the people's shoes and heads of what they're going through.
But that's why I say Paul does understand it. He has lost relatives to suicide, and he believes Satan enters the head and Satan leads the people to sin. I think that is brutal.
Definitely
absolutely brutal what he's
definitely
saying.
Definitely not. It would take him to be in the heads of the kids and people that do commit suicide.
You also, I noticed during the conversation, you do use the term commit in relation to suicide. I never say that. I always say people have died by suicide.
My child did, but
yes, but I say
my
people.
My youngest child of 11.
Yes, but
he was the youngest.
Yeah, but Geraldine, I mean your use of language, where you say where you say the word commit. A lot of people don't say commit. They simply say died by suicide. But where like this is irrelevant compared to what you're talking about. What in relation to the I suppose the trauma of what you're talking about. What age group did you mention, Geraldine?
My child was 23.
And what did you say about 11?
He was the youngest of 11.
You're the youngest of 11.
He had everything to live for, Frank. He had two lovely kids, one on the way. And again, he had a boy. That's a girl and a boy he has.
So sad.
I couldn't even live in my house, Frank. I had to move because it happened in my house.
Geraldine, I feel so sorry for you. And I'm sure people listening to this programme will feel the same. It's so difficult. And it's so difficult for all families, including Paul's family, obviously. But it's so difficult for all families who've been affected by suicide.
Okay, fine.
Geraldine, I really appreciate you listening to the programme.
And I do believe in faith, and I'm a Catholic, but that is not a sin.
Okay.
It's whatever's in their heads.
Okay. Geraldine, thank you. Thank you for that. Really sad, isn't it, when you think of what some people are going through. Brian's got a point. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Frank, and a happy new year to you. Hope the weather gets better.
All of that, Brian, all of that. What's on your mind?
Well, just regarding suicide, to me, it's like giving up in this life, that there's no hope, especially the way our country is running this time and the world around us. We get so depressed with Northern Ireland, with politics and with the world and et cetera, but there is hope, and our hope is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read through the Bible, for example, there's Job in the Old Testament. Job had everything taken from him, stolen, but then he looked back in chapter 42 and he rejoiced in the Lord. And the Bible also tells us that all things work together for good, as Romans 8:28 says.
And do you give out these leaflets, Brian?
I give out leaflets to people in Bangor and Belfast. I go out and I pray most days. a girl will leave me to someone and I hand out a leaflet. I approach people politely. It's all about your approach to people. You don't force it upon someone. You get people who take leaflets and get people who don't take them. But it's our obligation. The Lord Jesus Christ has sent us out to go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel, to reach lives.
And do you think the leaflet should be posted to people's homes?
Well, there again, that's a difficult question because some people, well, I get leaflets through our doors here tell us about going to the gospel halls in the area. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
An invitation to a gospel hall and a tract that says you can be saved from suicide are two entirely different pieces of literature. If someone sends me an invitation to the gospel hall, I can take it or leave it. That's just a polite invitation. But something that's advising me on suicide or referring to suicide, coming through the door, unsolicited mail, coming through the door that it could be opened by any member of the family or opened by a vulnerable person or opened by a family member who's lost someone to suicide. I can't think of something making you feel worse.
Yes, it's a very difficult subject to talk about, but, you know, let's bear in mind the day that we're living in, it's not going to get much better by the look of it.
Do you believe it's a sin, Brian?
Sin is sin. And
But do you believe suicide is a sin?
Suicide to me is just giving up, whereas there is hope. In this life, Christ is our hope. And Jesus came to seek and to save.
Yeah, but just tell me, is it a sin? You're saying suicide is giving up. You make it sound like as if, gosh, people have a choice. Ah, fed up here. I'm going to end it.
You know, it's like until you take your own life and there's no hope.
Yeah, but that does that make it a sin?
I would say it is a sin. It's wrong. It's not. You're giving up on this life.
Yeah, but you make it sound, Brian, if you don't mind me saying, like people who are about to take the step of ending their own lives are in some sort of position where they can make judgments, where they can choose, I'll go with Brian and his joy in the Bible, or I'll go and end my life. You make it sound like as if it's like you're in a shop and you're trying to decide whether you want ice cream or whipped cream.
Yeah. Well, we have a choice in this life. We either accept or reject.
Yeah, but what about if you're not in a position to make the choice? What about if your mind is so ill that you can't make choices? That you're in such a dark place that you don't see any alternatives?
I think it's very important then to talk your problems over with someone. It's essentially talk to someone. And there are people out there today in the streets doing good work. And they're speaking. They look around our town of Belfast, all over this world, and they turn to drink and drugs. I think that's the answer, and it will fill their void. It will fill their emptiness. But the answer is, the only person who can fill or give us joy in this life is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Brian, a lot of people will agree with you that that's where joy comes from, but we all know really good, devout, God-fearing people who have died by suicide and people who've never passed an ounce of remark on God have also died by suicide. And sometimes what annoys me is people make it sound really easy. The cure for mental illness. They make it sound like as if you read your Bible, you'll be all right. Gary's got a point. Good morning, Gary.
Hi there.
Yes, Gary.
I'm just wanting to make it's more of a point on what sin is.
Are you a pastor, Gary?
I'm a pastor, yes. I have a church called Victory Church Belfast. And really, I think there's a connotation going on there when you're speaking that sin is... It's kind of a slant on someone's behaviour, which it is to a certain degree, but it's sin in its general sense means missing the mark. It's going against the will of God. So if you're to say, is suicide a sin, from that point of view, I don't think it should be in a flyer that, and I think it's very insensitive. Now, I haven't heard the whole of the conversations you've had, so I'm only picking up bits and pieces. And from what I heard, there was a flyer went out that said that suicide is a sin. And I think that's insensitive because how the world sees sin is differently than how Christianity views sin. Because
in fairness, the flyer went out that said you could be saved from suicide by following the word of God. And this man was saved from suicide by someone who was preaching, intervening and saving his life. But suicide was very clearly marked on the tract. And the main argument was that it was a shock tactic and it was an unreasonable thing to be sent in unsolicited post to people's homes in Belfast. It was the next caller who came on who said he had lost 5 members of his family to suicide and he believed it was a sin. They had committed sin by doing this. That's what really sparked whether or not it is a sin.
Yeah, and I get why that would upset a lot of people. And I've had experiences in my own life, and I know that you have to be very sensitive around the subject. And it's just like any subject. You can't be blasé about it. This is really important. It's people's lives. But to say, to put it on the flip side, to say that suicide is not a sin, then that would mean that it's, theologically speaking or biblically speaking, that it's in the will of God, that God wills it, which is obviously not the case. If you read the Bible, it's not the case that God would will someone to take their own life. Now, don't get me wrong, I know the people who take their own life, and if they're in a state of depression, are not in their right mind. And I see it as a case of, and I think biblically we look at it as a case of their mind is at such a point of turmoil, and that, you know, before I was saved and before I was a Christian, before I was a pastor, I suffered depression myself, and at one stage I did try and take my own life.
But you can't commit a sin if you're not in the state of mind to commit a sin, surely?
Well, sin starts with, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, sin starts with the intent of the heart. So if there's intent behind anything, that's a sinful nature. And we have a sinful nature once we're born. Now, that's not saying that a baby is operating and acting out sin, of course not, but it's from a bloodline, it's from a fallen bloodline. So Romans, for instance, tells us that everyone has sinned and comes short of the glory of God. So to say that it's in the will of God would be contradictory to what God says and what the Word says. So to turn around and say that, yes, it's in the will that somebody can take their own life, that would be contradictory to what the Word says, and the Word calls it calls anything like that, like taking someone's life, taking your own life, and insinuates that that's a sin in itself because it's against the will of God. Because God's will for you, if you look at Jeremiah 29, is for you to prosper, for you to be healthy, for you to be whole. His thoughts to you are good and of peace and of joy. So if you look at those things, and that's the nature of God, to see anything outside the nature of God, that's where sin is. Now, I get when it's coming across to the world and if it comes across in a flyer or if someone just brandishes the word about, they're missing the actual point. To say someone's sinning, I'm not turning around and saying, oh, you know, he's doing a bad thing and he's in his right mind and this is a conscious thought-out sin. I'm saying the intent of the heart is behind it. And my heart goes out to anybody who's lost anybody in this way, in a horrific way, and it's a case of hopelessness, and it's not the will of God because God is hope.
Okay, Gary, we run the risk of you sounding like as if you're going to preach, but at the same time, I'm just getting an understanding of where the Victory Church stands on it. Thanks for the call. Thank you. Thank you. And God bless you too. Joan's got a point. Good morning, Joan.
Hello, is that me?
That's you, Joan. I hope so. Are you Joan?
Yeah, I'm Joan.
Good girl, go ahead.
Is this Frank?
You're through to the top here, Joan, yes.
My son committed suicide a few years ago. He was a very, very, very heavy drug addict, and he just couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel anymore. And I don't think people mean to take their own life. I don't think it's a sin, because I don't think people mean to take their own life. It's just that they just can't cope anymore.
Joan, can I interrupt you for 1 second? Could you turn your radio down for me a second?
I'll turn it off.
Yeah, just turn the radio down. Because you're saying is so moving.
I don't think they mean to commit suicide. Nobody wants to take their own life. Nobody wants to die. But I think these people my son just couldn't see a light at the end of the tunnel anymore. He'd been on drugs for over 30 years. And he was a very heavy drug addict. And these people who I've been sitting here listening to them, these people who get on, these preachers that get on and preach to you about the Bible, they just don't understand. That's my opinion.
Joan, your opinion is incredibly valid, because you say about your son and losing him to suicide, and you slowly lost him over 30 years. That must have been very, very difficult.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was living in Canada and I'm here in Ireland, and it was very, very hard. But you have to accept it. And his brother wanted to do a lot of things because he thought my son injected himself, but my youngest son thought that somebody had overdosed him on purpose, and he wanted the police to get involved. But I told him no, because no matter what you do, it's not going to bring him back, and it just makes the suffering prolong the agony of it all. So whatever he did, I don't know what goes through. I don't think anybody really understands people who take their own life, because they don't know what's really going on in their heads at the last minute.
It's a very, very valid point, Joan. Joan, our thoughts are with you. I'm sure people listening to this program, their thoughts are with you too. People, the circumstances are so different in every case when people die by suicide. And thank you for the call, Joan.
I don't like these people getting on the phone saying, these people that preach to you all the time, because they just don't understand. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm with Joan there. You know, I believe in God, and I go to church, but I agree with Joan. Some people do just a wee bit too much preaching, and they don't understand. That is vital. That woman is right. And she's lived a life which must have been very difficult, to see her son be a drug addict for 30 years and then to die by overdosing. She is right. People are preaching at victims like Joan and other families who have lost people through mental illness to suicide. Mental illness comes in so many different forms, whether it's through misuse of drugs, or whether it's just the darkness of depression, or whether it's through the challenges of life. And some people, as Joan said, do preach just a wee bit too much.